And welcome to The Makeup Insider. I'm your host, Vanessa Barney, makeup artist, hairdresser, educator, and all-round beauty junkie. If you've ever felt lost or lonely in your makeup career, this podcast is for you. I'm here to interview makeup artists and other industry professionals to give guidance and be the mentor I needed early in my career. With a new episode every Tuesday, don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss a trick. And if you like what you hear, please rate and leave a comment. I hope you enjoy. Today on The Makeup Insider, I'm joined by Emily, and she is one of the founders and the CEO of Flavido and Albedo. Have I got that name right?
That works. That's totally fine.
That works.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I'd love you, can you please pronounce your brand's name just in case I've ruined it?
I would say Flavido and Albedo, but Flavido and Albedo works as well.
It's
the technical name for the skin and pith of a citrus fruit.
Amazing. Could you start off by telling us a little bit about the brand and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. That we exist for a pretty simple reason, in that we wanted to find great makeup that was in packaging that was completely plastic free. The beauty industry cranks out over 120 billion units of plastic packaging a year. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the recycling rates around the world, 85 to 90% of those wind up in landfill, which is terrifying. And as a long-time sort of makeup lover and enthusiast for beautiful packaging and, you know, all those things that you really sort of covet and want in your makeup bag, once you start sort of viewing them through that lens, it becomes really terrifying to think that these eyeshadow palettes are going to be around, you know, 500 years after you're gone. Mm-hmm. So we set out to figure out whether we could design some packaging and a product line that could live in completely plastic-free packaging, but that was still something that was fun and colourful and that you wanted in your makeup bag, you know, rather than sort of like one bamboo palette that I need to carry around and refill for my whole life.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, some of those sustainable sort of alts, I think, really force a consumer compromise.
Yeah.
In aesthetic or performance. So we wanted to try and avoid that as well.
Mm-hmm. Can we go back to the beginning when you began, sort of who came up with the concept and how you started on the path?
Yeah, it was
the recycling thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, look, landfill, I think, has always sort of, you know, everyone's got those issues that kind of niggle at them. The sheer scale of that problem has always kind of freaked me out.
Yeah.
The idea for Flavido had been rattling around probably in the back of my head for like a year and a half before it was something that we started talking about. Mm-hmm. Toby, who is one of our partners, is a wonderful designer. And when I was chatting to him about the idea, he was like, I actually really love the design challenge of that brief because it's almost impossible. So I'm in. And then I had a conversation with Alex, and she and I have worked together for, over a decade or something that will age us terribly. And she was really enthusiastic about the idea, and it was January 2020 before any of us really had any idea that the world was about to change so significantly. Mm-hmm. And then by the March of that year, we sort of realized it was going to be a weird time anyway, so we might as well spend some time doing something that we all found interesting and wonderfully distracting, I suppose, at the beginning of those lockdowns and all of that good fun. And I think in our conversations with manufacturers and things, they'd said it will take you 24 months to get from a PDF to a finished product that you can hold in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And we managed to do that in like 11 months, I think. But caveat, then some COVID shipping delays and all that stuff kind of delayed the launch by about 4 or 5 months. But, it was a really interesting process in that once we started it, everything just seemed to flow. Okay. And that's the thing about a tight design brief, I think, because so many of those decisions are made for you. I'm like, well, the material is aluminium, so let's work backwards from that. So the science and the recycling rates kind of made a load of those decisions for us.
Yeah.
Which I think streamlines things a little bit.
Yeah. How many products have you got in the range?
We are, there's sort of four hero products in the launch range.
Yeah.
So there's an eyeliner, a creamed powder eyeshadow, an illuminator or a highlighter, and a cream blush / lip tint. Mm-hmm. We're more interested, I suppose, in the colourful and creative end of the makeup spectrum than we are sort of getting involved in that conversation that the industry sometimes has with women about sort of fixing their faces.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much prefer this is an extension of your personal style and a way to add to an outfit rather than there's something fundamentally wrong with your head and good news, we've made something to fix it. So it's a very, we're very deliberately sort of in that colour cosmetics end of the spectrum, and complexion isn't something that we sort of do at the moment or are looking to add anytime soon. But look, we literally made everything we could afford to. Okay. People go, it's a really like a great shade edit. I'm like, no, that's just everything we could afford to make. So the range will grow. We're just trying not to get sucked into that sort of seasonal rhythm that has people making things for the sake of making them.
Yeah.
Like as they're finished and ready, and we think that we've got a sort of packaging workaround that has no compromise or downside in it, we'll release new product. It seems weird to be anti-landfill and then to just be like, well, we have to do something because it's autumn winter. So we're trying to avoid the pull of the calendar, as it were.
Yeah, because you've got your eyeshadows and the pencils and the cream blush, cream lip. Is that if I cover? Oh, and the highlight.
And the highlight.
Yeah. So can we talk about the packaging for them?
Mm-hmm.
As in what they come in? I mean, the pencils are quite explanatory, I suppose, because they're a sharpened pencil, aren't they? They're not a wider.
They are. I mean, the fact that we took pencils that are perfectly good and make them out of plastic, like, pencils themselves are so functional and have been forever.
Yeah.
The fact that we then make plastic versions of those is wild to me. But anyway. Yeah. So the pencils are, sustainable timber with an aluminium cap. We work with a lot of aluminium because it has the highest recycling rate of any material.
Okay.
So in Australia and around the world, so 75% of all aluminium that's ever been produced goes back into circulation, and the recycling process itself, well, first it actually happens, which is good because it doesn't actually happen for most materials. And the process, it's light on emissions. And so the economics, if you like, of the aluminium recycling through universe works. So wherever we can, we work with that. It's light, so you can ship it around, it more easily than you can like really heavy glass or anything like that.
Mm.
So where the formulations allow, we try and work with aluminium. And then there's a little bit of recycled glass. So the highlight formula, because it's like a creamy mousse highlighter, it's not a powder. It needed to be airtight. So it sits in glass with an aluminium lid, but the lid, that was the one that actually was the hardest for us to figure out a workaround for. Because the manufacturers were adamant we'd need to line the lid with PE plastic, like the top of a jam jar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us a little while, and then they called us one day and they were like, what about cork? And I was like, cork is perfect. So the highlighters are all lined with a little cork circle that keeps them airtight. And then you can obviously just compost that part before you recycle the rest.
Okay. All right. And then did you say the pencils have aluminium lids?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. And then with so that can just go straight into recycling, the aluminium when you...
All goes into curbside recycling, yeah.
Okay, cool. And what about the packaging that you send it in, as in the boxes that it comes in?
So it's all FSC cardboard. basically. Mm-hmm. Soy-based inks where we can use them, all of that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But no, no plastic, no bubble wrap. So everything, it's interesting, it comes up a little bit. People are like, well, you're anti-landfill, but the box has got like a corrugated cardboard liner in it. But having that inside the box means that we don't need to use that packing peanuts or bubble wrap or anything, because the product itself is protected inside its own little unit. Yeah. So we've made some of those decisions quite deliberately. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, everything's just wrapped in paper and cardboard, water-activated tape, which is, let's just say, operationally more challenging than normal sticky tape.
You can't just rip, like, use it. You have to activate it. Is that what it means? Water activated.
Yeah, you literally have to wet it, and then So it's, you know, I understand why companies aren't drawn to things that take longer and are annoying and or more expensive.
Okay.
Because they're not the most efficient, but when you weigh up efficiency versus, well, this tape or this packaging is going to stick around forever.
Mm.
You know, it just sort of, it changes the way you feel about it. So you wrestle happily with the water-based tape.
And you would be like me. You would have seen the growth in the beauty industry over your adult life,
mm-hmm.
going from hardly anything being available to then so many things being available, just so disposable, really, which is why you come up with the brand.
Yeah, it's it definitely feels, and I think all industries have this problem, the very short-term focus on trying to create, you know, a viral product or something that is the hit of Christmas or, you know, whatever. It's a very, like, short-term point of view on a lot of things and a lot of stuff that is made for stuff's sake.
Yes.
As opposed to, you know, really thought through and developed properly and high quality and all of that sort of thing. So, we're trying to go slowly. I mean, we'll make mistakes anyway, right, because we're new to the industry and all of that sort of thing. Mm. But we're trying to take the product development thing slowly so that we minimize the amount of things we get wrong.
Yeah. So you mentioned it took, so it was 11 months from sort of 2020 to then 11 months on until you had your first product. When did you launch?
Launch, because of the shipping delays that were happening all around the world, we sort of did a little soft launch in December of 2021.
Okay.
No, it must have been 2020, sorry.
2020, yeah.
But, you know, we didn't have much stock in the country at that point in time, so it was very quiet. It was basically us making sure that the website worked and all of those fun things. And we didn't really have everything here until like May of the following year.
Okay.
So that's when we sort of started marketing and conversations with people like David Jones and all of those things in a more meaningful way.
Are you guys, do you have marketing backgrounds? I know you said Toby has design. Do you or Alex have any kind of marketing background?
Yes, we do. Okay. We do. Not specifically inside the beauty category, but we both have worked in creative and advertising agencies for a long time. So that's how we met each other.
So what did you do? What was your first? So you launched in March. What did you do to launch it? How did you go about it?
A lot of because we are self-funded and light on marketing budget, shall we say? a lot of that's the polite way to put it. A lot of the strategies and things that, you know, we develop for clients and that kind of thing are just completely out of our current financial reach. Being realistic about it. So, you know, the only thing that we could do really was to create some imagery and things around the brand that that we were proud of and that we liked, and just start sharing the product with as many people as we could, for feedback and to see sort of how they felt about it. So we've been really lucky in that this makeup artist community has been really generous and lovely with their time and feedback and offering points of view on things and all of that sort of thing, which has been great. And we've just been sort of taking it one conversation at a time, and slowly introducing ourselves to people. Then we opened up shipping to New Zealand and to the US.
Oh, great.
We have, so they're all really big, like, operational challenges.
Oh, yeah.
As much as, like, marketing challenges, you know.
Yeah. So it's,
when people say things to me like, have you got a US tax ID? And I'm like, oh, that sounds awful. So there is a density, particularly obviously because you're making things that go on people's faces and they should be regulated and all of that sort of stuff. But there's a density to the admin and everything that needs to happen behind the scenes.
Oh, absolutely. I completely understand. Everything just takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah. And there's so many things we don't know. So we tend to discover these organically.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Well, I'm discovering things about shipping at the moment because I'm going to be shipping out a goodie bag, which you guys have kindly donated some products for. So, yeah, there's only a small amount of shipping, but, you know, there's the packaging and then there's paying for it and then, you know, all those things that you don't think about. So
Alex and I could talk to you about that all day long.
But, oh, really?
It's a whole new world.
Because then I get caught in the, do you send all these pretty things to go with it, like the card, and then do you wrap it, and then do you do this to make it, you know, that experience? But then I try not to add too much waste to the environment. So I'm caught in that spot as well.
Oh, totally. Anyway, that's good news. It feels like Christmas, you know, so there's always a festive vibe.
Yeah.
Vanessa here. I hope you're enjoying the show. Insight into Ecom, a collaboration between myself and Rob Povey, is opening for pre-sale on the 11th of October. To find out more information or to be one of our first 50 buyers who gets a free goodie bag, head to the link in the show notes that says sign me up. Now back to the show.
Now you mentioned David Jones. You guys now stocked in David Jones?
We are in their flagship stores, so Elizabeth Street, Burke Street, and Carindale in Brisbane.
Okay. So artists can pick up products there if they want to?
Yes, definitely.
You guys have a pro membership?
We do. Yep. So we've got a database of makeup artists and a discount code that's available to, that's available.
And that's just by the website, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. I can link to that underneath in the show notes. So what are some of your favourite products in the range?
The one that I wear the most often is definitely the Velvet Eyeshadow, one of the matte shades, the Hazelnut.
Okay.
Just because on days when you're, like, not doing an eye as such, you know what I mean? It just gives you, like, a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's great with, like, a bolder lip or whatever. But it's also good to layer under the metallic shades. So Hazelnut and Berry Bronze would be, like, my most used daily combo. Then Dew Tint, definitely. Grapefruit on the cheeks. Toffee on the lips normally. It's funny because the rose one, that sort of cooler pink, is the most photogenic. Do you know what I mean? It's the color that people are most drawn to, but actually it's the grapefruit that probably suits a wider range of skin tones. So skin grapefruit tone is 100% in my high rotation, and the lavender eyeliner.
Okay.
Just because it's fun.
What sort of things did you think about when coming up with the colours for the cheek and, you know, for the eyes and the eyeliners and the eyeshadows?
It was really about formulation first. So getting each formula to be the best we could make it in terms of like texture and performance and all of that sort of thing. And then really just investing in as big and as versatile of a shade range as we could, given the practicalities of being brand new. So it was as simple and as complicated as that, really. And just making sure that we had a good mix of those shades that you do, or those products that you use like every day and become part of a like a sort of core squad. But then some pops of colour in there as well for to that point earlier. You know, makeup should be fun.
The sky blue. Is it sky blue?
Yeah, the sky blue.
You've got a great, I like the look of is it a copper eyeliner?
The gold eyeliner.
Gold, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it's funny. That one came about, that was a late entrant into the range because we originally had quite a bright orange in our sights, like a almost neon orange. And then we got a phone call from the manufacturer saying that they weren't able to hit the Pantone reference that we had provided. And us in our infinite naivety, we're like, oh, why not? And he's like, it's actually, it just won't be safe for people's eyeballs. I'm like, that is good feedback. So we very quickly abandoned the almost neon orange and the gold sort of stepped in to take its place. But it's quite a soft gold. You know, it's not a gaudy gold, it's quite subtle for a metallic liner, which is good. It means you use it more often than you'd think.
It's sort of a bit more earthy, I suppose. That might be, that's how I would describe it. It's not like just a Saturday night kind of vibe. Any have you got any products in development at the moment? Or
we do think, we have a few things that we're looking at the moment. We think we are one packaging component away from having an answer to house our first mascara, which is great.
Oh, that's exciting.
So that's, it's always the packaging component that you least expect, like the lid of the high glow. Like I didn't even think about the lining, you know what I mean? We didn't anticipate sort of tripping over that. So this is similar, but we think we've almost got an answer, which is great.
Well, that would be tricky because mascara is a wet product that you wouldn't want to dry out. So
it's definitely been interesting. And then we have a lipstick that's in development. So again, really excited about the formulation and now just having a look at the packaging because aluminium is wonderful, but it's also really light. You know, so it's making sure that the product is sort of protected and that the shelf life's there and all of that sort of thing. So that's really good fun. And there's a couple of others that are probably too young far. To think talk about.
Well, that's exciting. I think that's very exciting. I'm really looking forward to seeing the mascara and how it's packaged because I can't really think up how you could do it. So I'm excited for that.
It's good. It's that's the one that has been the longest time in development. So I'd be very happy to see that working as well.
And what would you say are your best sellers?
The Dew Tint, definitely. So that cream blush formula, I think because it's so, you can build it, but it's quite high pigment. That's definitely our best seller. Probably Rose first, followed by the Grapefruit Shade. The Lavender Eyeliner. Which is great. I think it suits more people than you'd think, you know, at first guess. And it's sort of, if you're not super confident with colour, it's kind of a relatively safe way to dip your toe.
Yeah, it'd be great on green eyes.
Yeah, it looks lovely on it looks lovely on most people, which is great. And then probably the Velvet eyeshadow, but all of the shades are neck and neck.
Oh, really? That's great.
Yeah, so, you know, you'd think it would be, I don't know, like I thought it would be sort of the more sensible like everyday shades, but they're all neck and neck.
I feel like your brand, this brand is some like a brand that would get a really loyal following. You'd have very loyal customers that come back time and time again.
Look, I hope so. It's probably too early for us to know whether that's true or not. But we definitely notice when we see people's names come up more than once.
Yeah.
You know, which is great. And it's lovely to be sort of at a size where you can do that and you really appreciate every customer that's like trying a new shade or, you know, whatever's happening. So that's really nice. But yeah, we're probably a bit too soon to know whether we've managed to pull that off or not, but I certainly hope so.
Yeah. Well, I love what you're doing and I love the philosophy behind the brand and I like that you're not trying to change women but enhance them or men. So I think it's a great thing. So thank you for being part of our Makeup Insider goodie bag.
Thanks so much for having us.
Pleasure.
Thanks for joining me today on the Makeup Insider. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Please don't forget to rate and subscribe, and I'll see you soon. Bye for now.